Tuning in tonight. Thank you, Stephen. This is Rachel Haynes. You've been listening to Labor Radio. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 p.m. to catch another Labor Radio show.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening. You're listening to Prison Pipeline here on KBOO Community Radio. My name is Emma, and I use she and her pronouns. We're speaking today with Raheem Shabazz about his documentaries, Elementary Genocide, and all of his other media work. So, Raheem, thank you so much for joining us on Prison Pipeline. Welcome.
I appreciate it, and I'm excited to be here because we definitely have a message that is not only informative, but it's imperative for everyone to hear.
Thank you. I know it's very important for people to hear this message. Will you please start by telling us a little bit about yourself and the work you're doing right now?
Yeah, my name is Raheem Shabazz, and I'm originally from Harlem, which is located in New York City. Myself, like many of my peers, I grew up in the turbulent 80s during the Reaganomics era, and I found myself on the wrong side of the law, which essentially led me into the school to prison pipeline at a very young age. And I'm also an unfortunate recipient of the 1994 crime bill. This is something that has been spoken about, but I have been doing the research since 2010. And what led me on this road is that when I began to look at those that was incarcerated, 75% of them comes from seven different neighborhoods. And then I began to look at the disparity in health and education in these seven different neighborhoods. And it led me down the rabbit hole where I discovered that if you're not reading on grade level, by the time you're in the third or fourth grade, there's a 75% chance that you're gonna end up in prison. And those prisons cells are sold on the stock market with private prisons because they know in 10 to 15 years exactly how many prisons cells they need to have. And if you was to do a little research and go to these private prisons websites, you will see that they have the stock market ticker where you can see the stocks going up, going down, and what have you. And on one of the websites, the motto is, if we build it, they will come. So that's a little bit about me and my journey on eradicating the school to prison pipeline.
Thank you so much. Can you tell us a little bit about your documentary too? You've produced three documentaries called Elementary Genocide, and I know that I've listened to one of them, and I know that in your documentaries you definitely mention a lot of the points that you just brought up, but I'm sure our listeners would really enjoy hearing about your documentaries and also where they can find them if they wanted to take a further investigation.
Yes, the first documentary is called Elementary Genocide, School to Prison Pipeline. In that documentary, we show the disparity in the sentencing laws. We show the exact correlation between the critical expose of mass incarceration, the war on drugs, and the connection between slavery, capitalism, and the prison industrial complex. And in our second documentary, which is called Elementary Genocide 2, the Board of Education versus the Board of Incarceration, we go back to the landmark ruling of Brown versus the Board of Education. And what we discovered was that during that time that they integrated the students, they didn't integrate the teachers, and over 8,000 Black teachers lost their jobs. And we asked the proverbial question, has integration done us more harm than good? Because we know that those that are educated by individuals that look like themselves, there is a higher academic achievement rate than opposed to you being educated for someone that doesn't come from your cultural background and don't have no commonality with one another. So that's the second documentary. And the third documentary is called Elementary Genocide 3, Academic Holocaust. And in that documentary, we seek to show that the assassination of your mind, the assassination of your critical thinking is no different than the assassination being done by state-sponsored execution that we see today, whether it's George Floyd, Michael Brown, Tim Rice, and the list goes on and on.
Thank you so much. I think that's something that a lot of white liberals have a hard time like hearing, is that segregation and desegregation, the whole movement to desegregate schools, which was reflected in Brown versus Board of Education, may have really been a disservice to the Black community. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, Martin Luther King, he said it best, you know, in his last days, where he talked about he think that he sent his people into a burning house. And what he was essentially talking about was integration, because he realized that, you know, okay, we can sit at a lunch counter with those that are white, but we can't afford the burger, mm-hmm. you know, because of the disparity in employment, the disparity in health and education. And all of this is a direct effect of, you know, mass incarceration. It harks back to the days of Jim Crow and slavery. We're not on an equal plane. And so when you put individuals together that's not on the equal plane, there is going to always be a higher echelon or what have you, or, you know, like Maslow's theory. There's different classes of people. So I think that's one of the underlying problems as well, class struggle.
Thank you. It's a really big deal to make a documentary. I mean, I know because I've been around people making documentaries. Can you talk a little bit about your process? Like, first of all, what inspired you to make your three documentaries? And could you walk us through a little bit of what you do to prepare for those and that sort of thing?
Well, the start of it was a paper that I had to do for college. We had to come up with an organization that was dealing with social justice. And mine was on mass incarceration and the restriction of those who are incarcerated be allowed to vote. And what I discovered is that, you know, 85%, you can say almost 90% of the inmates incarcerated in New York State from the city. And they are not counted on the census of the city. They are counted in these little rural areas. So these rural areas not only get tax breaks for the building of the prison, the maintaining of the prison, but they also get federal funding because of the population. And when these individuals return back to society, they return back to the city, which is not adequately suitable for them economically, because they wasn't even counted on the census. So I was doing the research on that, and that led me to, like I previously said earlier, looking at the disparity in the education between those that was coming from the city being incarcerated in New York State. And that's when I came up with Elementary Genocide. And, you know, when you're doing a documentary, the main and crucial part of it is the research. So the research from a term paper led me into doing the documentary. And, you know, when you do a documentary, you restrict it. You know, you have time constraints where you try to get everything that you can within a certain given time. And when I went all around the country, it was well received. But one of the pressing questions was that I focused more on Black youth, particularly male Black youth, and why I didn't focus on the females. So I knew there needed to be another documentary done. So in the second documentary, in addition to us talking about Brown versus Board of Education, we also highlighted that there has been an 800% increase in the last 30 years of incarceration of females. So that was the need to be explored. And so that's why we did a second documentary. And then we wanted to end the series and bring it up to date with what was going on as far as the social justice. So we wind up doing the last and final one, which was Elementary Genocide 3, Academic Holocaust.
Thank you. You mentioned earlier that there were seven areas where the majority of the prisoners came from. And you also talked about the connection between looking at like school rolls and who's being put into what school systems and the number of jail cells they're going to open up. Can you talk about that just a little bit more? What prisons are we talking about, and what can we do to stop this?
Well, particularly the prisons that we are talking about is not just restricted to New York State. That's where my documentary started, but this is something that's happening in every state, in all states. When you look at Oregon, you look at Minnesota, you look at Idaho, you look at, you know, areas that are not overly populated with Black and Brown individuals, there's a disparity in the school to prison pipeline, where you have individuals as young as 3 and 4 years old that are being arrested and handcuffed just for minor offense. I give you one instance where if a teacher tells a student to sit down and the student, you know, maybe he might question the reason for her telling him to sit down. I'm not doing nothing. I'm just standing up. And she can actually have him suspended from school for willful defiance. And something like that is very problematic when you understand that those that are suspended are out of school. Not only are they missing their school, but there is a higher probability. They are 5 times more likely to wind up in trouble, being on probation, and probation, everybody knows, leads to jail time. So this goes back to that. And another important factor I want to say is that when we talk about the school to prison pipeline, and my research, it led me to the third and fourth grade reading level to determine how many prisons they're going to build. But from the first documentary, we have learned that it don't start in the third or fourth grade. That's when they're able to track it. It actually starts the first day they begin when they begin in kindergarten. So it starts from that. And as far back as preschool, the school to prison pipeline can start. Just, you know, time out for a kid for something, you know, that is not criminal. You know, and what we do know is that neurologists have discovered that the mind and your brain is not fully developed until you're in your mid-20s, 25 years old. So why would you penalize and criminalize these young kids when their mind is not fully developed? You know, so we have a saying that they will treat you like a child and punish you like an adult, which is essentially wrong, especially when we're dealing with children.
Thank you. We're talking today with Raheem Shabazz, who is the producer of Elementary Genocide. And we're talking about issues related to prisons and incarceration and to Raheem's unique work as a documentary filmmaker and the gross injustices in the American incarceration system. Raheem, what can we do, what can we start to do to change things and to reform the system?
One of the main and important things to do as a concerned parent, as a concerned citizen, is to be active in the teachers of the parents association, right? The PTA. And I think once we do that, because a lot of people that's on the school board started out in the PTA. And when you do that, you're able to have direct relationships with the teacher, who has direct relationships with the principal. You know, a lot of people are waiting for federal law or state law. Politics begins locally. So you have to start out in your jurisdiction, your geographical location, and you have to be active on the school board. So I think that's one of the main reasons, one of the main solutions that we could do. And as far as the education and receiving a subpar education in the public school system, as a parent, you have to understand that education doesn't begin when the school bell rings, and it doesn't end when at the end of the day at 3 p.m. We have to homeschool our kids so that we are supplementing the education that they're receiving, and we're giving them an education, because they're not going to teach you how to be an entrepreneur. They are teaching you how to be a part of the working class. They don't teach you about taxes. They don't teach you about real estate. They don't teach you about stocks, investments. And we have to come to the realization that college is not the be-all. That you can be a coder, you can be an engineer, you can be a plumber, you can be an electrician, and you don't have to go to college for that and be stuck with $130,000 student loan. So we have to realize, you know, we know who our kids are, we know what talents they have, and one of those talents may be working with their hand. They could be a mechanic. They could be an electrical engineer. They could be an engineer for building airplanes, and they make a lot of money without going to college. You know, we got to bring back trade schools. So I think that's, you know, those are two, three solutions that we can do as a people. And we just have to highlight what has actually happened. Why should a child go from the schoolyard to the prison yard?
Thank you. We're talking today with Raheem Shabazz. He's the producer of Elementary Genocide. You're listening to Prison Pipeline here on KBOO Community Radio. Raheem, let's talk about some of your other work that you're engaged in besides just the documentaries. Can you tell us what you've been working on lately?
I'm working on a book. I'm also working on another documentary. The book is called Radical Hope in the 21st Century. I also do have a clothing line. I am one of the majority owners in it, and the clothing line is called Wingi, W-I-N-G-I apparel. And the word Wingi is a Swahili word, and it means abundance. And our motto is, if you got it in abundance, it's always good to give, because no one ever went broke from giving. So that is like our charity arm of our organization. And this allows us to travel the country, to speak to the youth, to go into the prisons, to go into the school system. So that's one of the ventures I do have. And I'm also working on a documentary called Contraband Flesh, The True Story of Africa Town. And it's a historical timepiece. In addition to that, I'm working on doing documentaries for other individuals, you know, just recreating the magic that I was able to create for my documentary and bring other people's story to light as well.
Thank you. Here in Oregon, we have the leadership in our city council of Councilwoman Joanne Hardesty, who helped lead the push last year to get school resource officers out of the schools. And that was the first step in what our city council has done to try to address some of the demands of the movement for Black Lives and Black Lives Matter. They also reduced the police budget and eliminated the gang task force from the city budget. Unfortunately, now the media is tending to dig into like racist tropes more about how the natural consequence of the Black Lives Matter movement is that now the liberal cities are filled with crime and gangs and shootings because there's no police. Can you address the this obvious fallacy, and why is the media doing this right now?
The media is part of the state. It's just obvious that the media works in the best interest of the state. A lot of those that are controlling of the media, you see who they vote for along party lines. Those that tend to be more liberal vote for Democrats, and those that are conservative vote for Republicans. So whatever the narrative of that political party that's pushing is what you're gonna find in the media. So, in law they say that you have the federal level, you have the state level, like there's different levels. Well, the media is like the fifth level when we're dealing with the government. And I think that with the advent of social media, that people are recognizing that the media doesn't always tell the truth. In fact, the media, most of what you hear in the media is biased. The people that are around the situation are closest to the solution to the problem. They know what's happening, and the solution and the truth will not come from the media. And I think people need to realize that. And you said something that was very interesting, about people pushing back, and they was actually able to make some progress with removing resource officers out of school and reducing the police budget. Once that is done, then we will see a decrease in the school to prison pipeline. And another thing is, kids are gonna be kids. Some of them are gonna get in trouble, it's obvious. This been happening since mankind, right? Mm-hmm. But we have to look at different ways of addressing the problem. And one of those is restorative justice. That is the solution. Restorative justice, not prison cells. They already took the college programs out of prison. Me, I was fortunate enough where I graduated from college inside the belly of the beast. And I was probably the last graduating class before they took it out. And the reason why they took it out was ramifications from the 1994 crime bill. Within months of that crime bill being passed, the prisons school program and the college programs was taken out within like 60 days of that bill being signed.
That's so terrible.
We was all sent a letter that there would be no more college program. But there was a private college called the New York Theological Seminary that actually stepped in and paid for my college education while I was incarcerated. And the beautiful thing of it was is that I graduated in the top 5% of my class. I graduated 13 days before I was released. And with that education, I've been in the free society for 21 years. And 15 out of those 21 years, I've been an entrepreneur. And I run several different businesses and I work for myself. And it was the education that put me on the path in order to do that. There's no rehabilitation in prison. In fact, most people in prison sit around and they plan their next crime. That's the type of atmosphere that's brewed behind those walls. And that's not for everybody, but the majority of people. And that's why you see a high recidivism rate. Because when you come out, you can't vote, you don't have no rights, it's hard for you to get a job. If I had to rely on getting a regular 9-to-5, my criminal record will always be a factor. And in fact, with one of my business, I was denied a PPP loan for my criminal record, which had nothing to do with loans or anything, but I was able to pull up a memorandum of law where the SBA was previously sued, saying that they couldn't use that and they couldn't discriminate, and they dispersed the funds to me. But how many other people know where to go look for that information? How many people know where the resources is for that information? And how many people are able to sit in front of their computer and not be on social media, but to write a letter and appeal it and to be able to fight, you know, and challenge these unjust rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. I was able to do that, and I was victorious in that. But once again, it goes back to education. Education is of paramount concern.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We've been talking tonight with Raheem Shabazz, of producer of the documentary Elementary Genocide. are there any concluding thoughts you'd like to share, Raheem? And also, if you'd like to let people know how to get in touch with you, how to find your documentary.
Yes. My closing thoughts is that children are not going to be receptive to anyone unless they know that you care. If they don't think that you care, they're not going to be receptive to you. Children do not drop out of school until parents drop out of their lives. A lot of times, most of the blame is on the government and the school system. But as parents, we have to take some blame as well. You can homeschool your kids. You don't have to send them to the public school. There's no law mandating that your child has to be in a public school. You can homeschool your children. And in fact, in certain states, you get actual tax credit for that. They will pay you to homeschool your kids. And statistically, those that are homeschooled have a higher academic achievement rate, and there's virtually no school to prison pipeline. So that's one of the things I want to leave everybody with at elementarygenocide.com. We also on amazon.com. We also on Quali TV. That's KWELITV.com. And that's about it. And you can follow me on social media. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook. And everything is at Raheem Shabazz.
Thank you so much, Raheem. It's been a pleasure having you tonight on Prison Pipeline.
Thank you, and I appreciate it.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul who's in intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be
listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Want an impactful way to volunteer for KBOO? Believe in KBOO's values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change? Then apply to be a member of the KBOO Board of Directors. Our KBOO Board guides our strategic work and represents the interests and visions of all our members. There is a time commitment of about 15 hours a month for all board members, and you must be a KBOO member. To apply, go to kboo.fm and fill out an application. If you need a paper copy mailed to you, call the station or email applicationboard@kboo.fm.